I'll bring you back to the beginning of the year before we talk about, 2025. And we started out the year looking at Ezra and Nehemiah together. And we remember, from going through those books, how the work that was done was by the people. Like they didn't outsource it to Babylonians or the Ammonites. It was them. They went back and they put their hands to work. And so I want you to think about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. And as you turn there, I'll talk a little more. I listen to a lot of what you guys are saying. All commendable things. God willing, we would see each and every one of those things take place and more. God willing. In this scripture here, 1 Corinthians 3, 6, verse 7, it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. God is going to do his part. There is never a time where God has taken a break other than the seventh day. He's not going to just not do the work. He will do his part. What Paul reminds us is that we are in partnership with God. God is utilizing us. Although he doesn't need us, he says, hey, I want you to be a part of what's happening. And so Paul understood, hey, me and Apollos, our role is to plant seeds and water. It's not our job to determine the results or try to cherry pick or try to manufacture a result. We do our part. We do our part. This is what some of the things I would like to touch on in 2025. Us doing our part. And also in 1 Corinthians, you don't got to turn there. 1 Corinthians 12:12, it talks about the body parts. Each and every one of the parts had a role. Not one of them was more important than the other. Think about it. There are many roles in the church, and we can create more roles, but not one is more important than the other. Safety is not more important than the AV. Me as a minister is not more important. At least I don't view it that way. My role is to give out the word and live this life out just like everybody else. But we all have to do a part. Not some of us, not the favorites, not the usual suspects. You know what I'm talking about. They're the same ones that raise their hand. I'll do it. But you already got like six roles. I know, but I don't see no other hands, so I'm gonna get to do it. Yeah. It's gonna take every one of us to do our part. Right. You talk about a thriving church, that's what a thriving church looks like. That's what it looks like, where everyone is engaged, everyone is locked in. And I wasn't gonna say this, but I believe the Spirit is moving me to say this. We don't need more members. We need more disciples. That's what we need. We don't need more members. We don't need more members. People that just associate themselves with Westchester or the New York Church of Christ umbrella. We need disciples. That's what's going to get the work done. That's what's going to get the work done.
So as Kenson and I were talking, I got a chance to kind of re read and reflect back on Nehemiah. You know, beginning of the year, we're reading Ezra and Nehemiah, and I loved it. And there's a verse in Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked with all their heart. And what stood out to me was the we, right? I think about our Women's Day, that's what we talked about, the we, and together we thrive, and how they worked with all of their heart. So imagine, I'm just sitting there reading this, it's like, imagine as a region, if we collectively, every single person, gave our full hearts, everything we had, and worked with all of our hearts. Like the things that we said, you know, the few things that we imagined for 2025, God would do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine.
You know, and the thing about this verse in Nehemiah, you know, he highlights they worked with all their heart, right? So for Nehemiah to get this wall done, that's what it looked like. It looked like people who were dependent on God in prayer. Remember, all this started with Nehemiah in prayer. And then from that point, things started rolling, obviously from the third trip back to Jerusalem. But it started in prayer. We got to become people who are fully dependent in prayer. All of us, whether it's individually, because I'm sure you're praying individually, but we may need to incorporate more corporate prayer where we're all crying out to our Father in heaven for the things that we wish and hope for that is aligned with his will. Like, these are the things that Nehemiah depended on. That's what it looked like. It looked like everybody rolling up their sleeves and getting to work, knowing what the task was at hand, knowing what was the value of what they're doing and why they're doing it. An entire people getting engaged. Even in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 14, it says the dung gate was repaired by Malchijah, son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth-Hakkerem. He rebuilt it and put its doors on their bolts and bars in its place. Why do I read this one specifically? Because it's the dung gate. You know what the dung gate is?
Yeah, we don't want to
know. No, I'm going to say it. No, I'm going to say it. This is where the fractals. This is where the unwanted things go. That's not something I want to sign up for. I don't want to go do that. I'm going to get stink. It's nasty work. But we remember what the verse in verse 4, chapter 4, 6, it says. It says, for the people worked with all their heart. That means the people at the dung gate was working with all of their heart. They weren't complaining about the smell. Maybe they were. I don't know. I wasn't there. But the spirit of what the scripture is saying is that there was no task beneath them.
Yeah.
There was no work too great, or it's not convenient. I don't know how working at the dung gate was going to be convenient. Wasn't. But this is what it looked like for Nehemiah when he came before the people and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to rebuild this wall. And their hearts were in, and they were engaged. Now, he can say stuff from the pulpit or from the altar they built. He can speak to the crowd. But I gotta believe that individually in their homes, this was a burning conviction for them as well. And that when they got together, it was just a big old bonfire of conviction and strength and fire and just desiring to do what God has already put out before them. This is what I see when I read Nehemiah. Volunteerism. It doesn't say that anybody was forced to go work on the wall. I don't read that. They quickly ran to where they needed to get done. Whether it was the dung gate, the fish gate, didn't matter. And I think about us as a church, as a thriving church, and what could be. You've heard me say this many a times this year. I look at Westchester as what could be. What could be? What could be of a group where everyone is locked in and engaged? What would that look like? There'll be no call or shortage of teachers. There'll be no call or shortage of those who come early to set up sound or break up sound. There'll be no shortage of that because every individual is locked in. They get it. They know that, hey, you know what? In the grand scheme of things, if we have sound or no sound, it really doesn't matter. But if one visitor walks in this room and somehow this may impact them in some way, it's worth it. If a family that we invited to come to church come and there's no kids class, and that might be a reason why they leave, I mean, that's between them and God. But as long as it depends on me, there's going to be some kids, there's going to be teachers ready to go, just in case. We got backup. This is what locked in looks like. This is what a thriving church looks like. Not just from the pulpit. Not just on Sundays or Wednesday. But every day, each of us walking and just locked into what God has already put out before us. Because again, all these things that we said we would like to see are great in itself. And if it's in God's will, it's going to happen. Because we already know he's going to do his part. But we gotta do our part, each and every one of us. I think about some other parts where this could show that this level of conviction about my worship to God, I'm gonna talk about, right? Even in our giving, whether it's giving of service or even of our time. Like when we reflect on these things, we gotta ask ourselves, man, why? I think somebody, I think it was Derek or someone did the contribution message a couple of weeks ago. Why I give? Oh, Sean said, why do I give? Another question is, do I give? that's another question we can ask. I don't know. I don't get stats and data says Kenson gave, John didn't give. I don't get those stats, nor do I want it. But you gotta ask yourself. If I want to see a thriving church for God, if this is my part of the wall of this large kingdom, this global kingdom, am I locked in? Am I seeing what God is calling me to do? Is this my heart? These are the things that a thriving church looks like.
So, you know, when I think it was Jerome, you were talking about the children's ministry, right? You want to see a whole bunch of little kids, you know. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to the sister, and one of the things that was, you know, I was like, are we ready for the miracle? Are we ready? If God does open those floodgates, and there's a whole bunch of little kids, but we don't even have enough teachers now. Are we ready for the miracle? You know, and you know, that's one of the things, like me and that sister were talking about, that we have to be ready now. Right now with our sound, right now with our children's ministry, right now with wanting to be able to support the campus, right now with the children, with the teen ministry. Not wait until it comes and then we'll serve, you know? And I think that's one of the things for me that I really had to not just look at right now. Like you said, okay, what can God do? God could do immeasurably more, but how can I prepare my heart right now? How can I prepare myself right now? How can I be more reliant on God right now? How can I serve right now?
Remember, I don't know if you want to share this. Remember
when Kayla? Yes. So our daughter, and I remember this, this is the time, you know, we were in Georgia and her teen leaders were moved. And so this was her senior year in high school, and that would leave them with no teen leaders. And we were not serving the teens. We took a break from serving in the teens. We got baptized as teens. I felt like our whole life was around teens. And we were like, Okay, no more teens. We're going to be with some adults, and we enjoyed it. Okay, you guys. Yeah, we were with the young Marys, and we were happy. We went on a retreat. I mean, it was great. And then our daughter came home, and she sat us down, and she says, Mom, Dad, can you guys lead our teen ministry? You know, and that was not something that we were looking to do. I'm going to be very honest. But then we looked at her and we said, how can we say no? She's asking us to help and lead her and her rest of her friends spiritually. And I'm so glad that we did. Her last year, those memories that, you know, that we were able to have, it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was a done game, okay? It's like, it's not. I love the teens. We love the teens. We have teens. But it wasn't something that was convenient to us at that time. It wasn't something we were looking to do at that time. But God blessed it. You know, our daughter thrived spiritually. She was a young Christian. You know, and she enjoyed that time and was able to have great memories. And so those are the examples of when we're looking like, and it wasn't the leaders that came to us. Was our daughter.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, and full disclosure, I love teens. I was converted as a teen, but I was the one like, nah, babe, I'm not doing another teen ministry. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm teened out. Teened out. I love it. I'm teened out. You know, but it was, how do you say no? I know how I would say no. I'm locked in. That'd be a reason why I would say no. I'm not saying anybody else in this room or online. Why I wouldn't do it, because I'm not locked in. Because it's somewhere how I'm feeling my role in this church community and the charge that God has given me, I'm not locked in. Now, I'm not saying everybody I know serve in team ministry, but it'd be great. But you know deep inside when you reflect on things, you know, you can tell where you are. You know, you can tell, man, if I'm really really about this life, or have I become a part of a life? Part of it. Right? And these are things only you can self-evaluate, or maybe some of us in the room can observe and say, man, it seems like you're drifting. That's possible too. But when we're talking about a thriving church in 2026 and beyond,
yeah.
Excuse me, 2025, I'll see where I'm going.
You went beyond.
Already talking about 2026, three-year plan. You know? But seriously, like, Shayla and I, we look at what Westchester could be. And this is something that we want everyone. I'm not saying you're not, but there's always room for growth. There's always room to say, yeah, but I can take it higher. I can take it higher. I know I can, because God is enabling me to. He's not putting limitations on me to serve. He's not putting limitations on me to share my faith. No. That's not what's happening. So I can take it a notch higher. And that's why I love my thing Andy brought up about the small groups. Like, we have so many more small groups now that allows us these avenues and opportunities for us to help one another, for us to grow, for us to teach each other. Man, I'm sure there's some great men and women here that have some great lessons on their hearts. You can teach each other. You can do it. You don't got to wait for an organized Sunday or Wednesday to get it done. Women teaching women. I mean, there's so many opportunities. And I guess I'm going to go too far into next year. Let me slow down. But I think the point is being made clear. We know that there are great things we would like to see because we are God's children. But we know we have to do our part. It's not going to just be done because we create more programs. And that's what's going to bring people. More programs will not get us to the root of what's going on. Right? We got to be people that's going to be locked into what God has already put out before us. And so I want to look at, we're going to close out here in Ephesians 4, verse 16. In Ephesians 4:16, it reads, From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I can't stress it enough that it's going to take all of us. I can't, and I don't want us to say, okay, we're going to become a church of works. That's not what I'm preaching, nor where I'm going with it. But there are things that it's going to require us to do. It is. First, it starts with your individual walk with God. Individual walk, not corporate worship, not your small group worship, your individual, you and God. How is that going? That's where it's going to start. Because if each and one of us are locked in on our individual walk with God, then everything else starts to emanate from that. That's what's going to happen, because collectively, the Spirit is going to take us into some incredible places. But it starts with the individuals in this room, online, and those of us that are working right now, they didn't get a chance to hear this. It's going to start with us individually. And then collectively, we're looking around. We're looking to see what else can be done. What else can be done? Not just come with the problems, but what solutions can I add to this? Right? There's nothing wrong with pointing out things that needs to be addressed. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think that's important because, first of all, I have blind spots. I can't see everything. There's no way. It's impossible. And if you had a leader that did that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble that doesn't listen to any thought except his own. So I need input. But understand, you want to also have possible solutions to this problem or challenge. Maybe the three of you can work that out and just let me know, hey, we're going east. All right, safe travels. Let me know how it works out for you. You know, I'll join you. Let me know. I mean, I'm okay with that. But it's going to start with that. Every part, the scripture says, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The church is healthiest when everyone is engaged. When everyone is engaged, are you going to have some slumps and some hardships? Yes. Are you going to be spiritually empty at times? Of course. Of course. No one is asking for perfection. But we are being called to have convictions and to have desire and passion to see a lost world being saved, to seeing like Jerome talking about young kids running up and down the aisle. Like, we want to see those things. And I'm believing God wants to see those things as well. But we got to do our part. We got to do our part. And so as we're starting to close out the year, I want each and every one of us to start thinking like this, praying on these things. Don't just have the ideas, but to really pray on these things. Because again, nothing happens outside of God's will. If it's outside of God's will, we don't want it. We may want a building for ourselves. That's not what God wants. Then we're going to be right here. We don't want what's not in God's will. So we want to pray earnestly. God, what is it that you desire for us in 2026, 2025? Here are my desires for your kingdom. But let it be lined up with yours. Because if it is, we ready to rock and roll. We ready to rock and roll, because now this is my desire, this is your desire, then let's go. Let's go. So that's the hope. That's the hope that we want everyone to start really thinking about as we get ready for 2025. I know we have I'm giving you a three-year plan. Next year in January, we're gonna give out the calendars probably in February, because we want to make sure we have all the dates lined up. But I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in 26, 2025. I don't know what it is.
I don't want to skip over 2020.
No. But guys, seriously, guys, I really want us to be in prayer about next year what
Amen.
God is going to do.
Nope.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer, and then I believe we have
announcements.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your spirit. God, that you fill us up. We know that there are times we can drift. We can become distracted by our own desires or the things that we see or just life itself. But we know, God, that you will always call us back. Help us to hear your voice in everything that we do. Father, as we think about the work that you have for us to do in 2025, please allow our strength to come from you.
Amen.
That we grow in our desire and our passion for you and for the lost and for those who are in need around us. That we will no longer be people that just show up. God, we're going to be engaged in every aspect of our walk. Whether it's when we come together for corporate worship, let it be felt. Let our worship be a aroma to you, not a burden to some of us. When it's time to give our tithe, let it be done with joy, not with sorrow or reluctance. Father, when it comes to serving, let us be the first in line to meet needs, not the ones that duck to the back. Help us to have deep convictions about the things that you are concerned about. Help us to not be distracted by meaningless words or myths or trending ideas. Help us to lock into your word that always guides us the right way. It never fails. Help us to be that church for you, Father, because we know you love us. We thank you so much for this opportunity to serve in your kingdom. We thank you that we have the opportunity to dream about what is to come and that you allow us to be a part of that. You could have easily pushed us to the side and do everything, but you are allowing us to participate. That is a joy. Let it be a joy in all of our hearts. Thank you so much again. Pray all those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.